Today is Wednesday, March 6th. We'll bring you the biggest takeaways from Super Tuesday and explain what it all means for the general election in November. Also, an unprecedented fine for one of the most prominent evangelical colleges over crimes on campus, and a first-of-its-kind union in college sports. Plus, a major comeback for Bitcoin, an outage that took popular social media sites offline, and a trend that's bringing more women into the tech industry. Those stories and more news to know in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. As expected, President Biden and former President Trump cleaned up on Super Tuesday. But the largest primary voting day still exposed some weaknesses for the top two candidates. Biden was far and away the Democratic candidate of choice, but some Dems voiced their disapproval for the president. In states like Minnesota, North Carolina, and Colorado, there were unusually high numbers of Democrats voting uncommitted in protest of the president's handling of the war in Gaza, just like more than 100,000 Michigan primary voters did last month. And in swing states, their support could make a huge difference in November. As for Trump, it still seems he's headed to a third straight Republican nomination. But he did not win everywhere yesterday. His one loss came in Vermont. His top challenger, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, won it in only her second victory after Washington, D.C. last weekend. Both Vermont and D.C. are expected to go to Biden in November, so Trump isn't sweating it. But Haley has said, even in other states, Trump will have trouble winning over the kind of Republicans who have supported her. And she claims that means the GOP will lose in November if he's the nominee. As of early this morning, there are still just a couple of states that have not been called for Republicans, like Utah and Alaska, but they're expected to go to Trump. With the balance of Congress at stake, Super Tuesday voters weighed in on a lot more than just the presidential race. There were primaries for more than a quarter of all seats in the U.S. House, and eight of them are considered competitive in places like California, Texas, and North Carolina. So voters set those matchups. Then there's the U.S. Senate seat that opened up when Senator Dianne Feinstein died last year. In that race, Californians chose Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff and Republican ex-baseball player Steve Garvey to go head-to-head in November. In Texas, the race for the state House Speaker seat is heading to a runoff. The current speaker had not faced an opponent of either party in a decade. But because he supported the impeachment of Texas's attorney general, he did have an opponent this time who got endorsements from both the AG and former President Trump. And in the end, that race was too close to call. Another one that's going to be closely watched in November is in North Carolina's gubernatorial contest. And it seems to be echoing Biden versus Trump. Republicans picked North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who has the strong endorsement of former President Trump. In fact, Trump even called him better than Martin Luther King. And Dems picked State Attorney General Josh Stein, who has more political experience and was endorsed by the outgoing governor. Next up on the primary calendar, Hawaii Democrats vote tomorrow. And next week, voters from both parties will vote in Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington. The U.S. airdropped more food into Gaza this week. American forces parachuted in about 37,000 meals to address some of the growing need. The United Nations has warned hundreds of thousands of people are on the brink of famine. And sadly, many Palestinians have already died of malnutrition or dehydration. U.S. officials admit aid dropped by air is an expensive and insufficient alternative to aid that's trucked in. But Israel is keeping the bulk of aid deliveries from getting in through the typical routes. Israeli officials say the process is just taking a long time since they want to prevent supplies from being used by Hamas. Though United Nations experts accused Israel of intentionally starving Palestinians in the Strip. Either way, the Biden administration says it's pressing Israel for more land access now, and it's still considering a plan to get aid into Gaza by sea. Negotiators are also still working towards securing a ceasefire deal. The wildfires spreading across the Texas panhandle have already burned more land in one week than thousands of fires did over the last 4 years in the state. The biggest one, called the Smokehouse Creek Fire, is the biggest ever in Texas. It has now burned an area larger than the state of Rhode Island, making it one of the largest ever fires in American history, too. It's killed at least two people and thousands of cattle, destroyed homes, farms, and ranches, and it's still spreading this morning. Now, a new lawsuit claims the whole thing was caused by one downed utility pole. A homeowner is suing Xcel Energy Services and two other utility providers. The suit accuses them of not properly inspecting, maintaining, and replacing a wooden pole that ended up cracking and snapping off into especially dry land on a windy day. For now, Xcel just says the fires are still being investigated and that the official cause has not been determined, though it has still promised to support the community in the recovery. Hundreds of local, state, and federal personnel, as well as U.S. Army troops, have been fighting the fires. And thankfully, weather conditions have let up a little, too. A cold front is expected to help firefighters get a hold of the flames soon. Liberty University in Virginia is facing a record fine for breaking federal campus safety laws. The education department accused the school of creating a culture of silence that discouraged students from reporting crimes. And specifically, it accused Liberty of mishandling sexual assaults. For example, in some cases, the school apparently punished sexual assault victims for violating the student honor code, which prohibits premarital sex, but did not punish their assailants. The education department says Liberty also did not notify students about dangerous events like bomb threats and gas leaks and more. So with all those violations taken into account, it fined the school $14 million. The conservative Christian school will also spend another $2 million on campus safety improvements, and the education department will monitor the university for the next 2 years. In response, the university acknowledged many of the violations the education department cited, saying it regrets past failures. But it also said the school was singled out and scrutinized far more aggressively than others. And it's true that the fine against Liberty was far bigger than any other in history. The last record was $4.5 million handed down to Michigan State University over sexual abuse by sports doctor Larry Nassar. Just hours before their final game of the season, Dartmouth men's basketball players took a historic vote. They decided to become the first unionized college sports team in the country. The election was able to happen because the National Labor Relations Board recently ruled the players are employees of Dartmouth, since the team benefits the school through things like alumni donations and publicity. With a union, they'll be able to collectively bargain with Dartmouth over pay for their time on the court, practice hours, and other working conditions, even healthcare benefits. That said, this is far from a done deal. Dartmouth is already filing an appeal to the NLRB ruling, arguing the athletes are first and foremost students, not workers, and that in only a few years, the team will be made up of athletes who had no part in the election. That appeal process is expected to take months. More news is still coming up, but first, a shout out to our sponsor, Lumi. If you need a deodorant that can keep up with you while you're on the go, Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant that can work on everything from your pits to your feet. I use the stick deodorant on a daily basis, as usual, and I love the body wash in the shower, too. Then I keep the convenient deodorant wipes on hand for on the go. And no matter where or how you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long and control odor for up to 72 hours. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. It's baking soda-free, paraben-free, and more. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code NEWSWORTHY at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY. Now back to the news. Bitcoin hit a record high this week. The price of a single Bitcoin rose above $69,000 yesterday, representing a 300% rise since the collapse of FTX back in 2022. And that kicked off the so-called crypto winter. So why the comeback now? Well, earlier this year, regulators approved new Bitcoin investment funds, making it easier for everyday investors to add Bitcoin to their portfolios. Bitcoin has also benefited from a strong rally in the stock markets overall, since optimism is growing about the health of the economy. Even still, cryptocurrencies are considered extremely volatile. In fact, within 5 hours of hitting the record, Bitcoin's price dropped by about $7,000. So crypto investors are still encouraged to be cautious. Another home exercise equipment company is struggling in the post-pandemic world. Bowflex announced it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this week. It wasn't a huge surprise, given that the company's sales have been plummeting. They first went down when exercisers went back to the gym after pandemic shutdowns. And they faced even more headwinds since interest in cardio equipment seems to be fading. The CEO of Planet Fitness says people are more interested in weights now than they were years ago, which isn't great for Bowflex, who gets almost half of its revenue from cardio products. Of course, Bowflex is not alone. Peloton's stock is also hovering near its all-time low. And Nordic Track owner iFit recently scrapped its plans to go public. Hundreds of thousands of people around the world got a break from social media yesterday, whether they wanted it or not. Meta's platforms Facebook, Instagram, and Threads all went down for about 2 hours. They are back online now, but Meta still has not said exactly what happened. YouTube also says some users were experiencing problems yesterday, though it's not clear if those problems were related to the outages at Meta. Of course, this all happened on Super Tuesday, on a day when presidential campaigns rely heavily on social media platforms to reach voters. The Biden administration says it did not see any specific or credible threats of cyber criminals trying to disrupt the elections, but said it was monitoring the outages to be sure. One swoon-worthy white linen shirt brought in big money at auction this week. We're talking about the shirt Colin Firth wore when he dove into a pond in Pride and Prejudice. It became one of the most memorable scenes in TV history and solidified Firth as a heartthrob. Now, 30 years later, the now dry shirt has sold for $25,000. Other big-ticket items in yesterday's auction included a ball gown Madonna wore in the movie Evita, Johnny Depp's costume for Ichabod Crane in Sleepy Hollow, Drew Barrymore's dress from Ever After, and many more. Proceeds are going to an arts education charity founded by Oscar-winning costume designer John Bright. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by Skims. I had been hearing about Skims for a while, and now that I'm actually wearing Skims, I can tell you, it lives up to the hype. I got a bunch of items from their Fits Everybody collection, and I'm obsessed. Everything I got, from my new favorite bodysuit to a variety of intimates, has this amazing buttery soft fabric that I noticed right out of the bag, and then felt even better about when I put it on. I love how it all feels, fits, and looks. Believe the hype, because Skims has over 100,000 five-star reviews for a reason. The Fits Everybody collection is about to be your new favorite go-to essentials in your closet. At least, they are for me now. You've got to check out all the options, especially because there's something for everybody. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. You can shop now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you, select podcast in the survey, and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. So it seems the gender gap in the tech industry is getting a little smaller. The U.S. Labor Department says women now hold about 35% of American tech jobs, and that's up from 31% back in 2019. The Financial Times says women are also making gains in the U.K. and European Union. And a lot of it goes back to flexible work schedules being more accepted these days. One digital services consultant says companies that require workers to be in the office just 1 or 2 days a week hire 27% more women than those that still mandate 5 days a week in the office. Of course, men still far outnumber women in tech. And even if the gap is more narrow than it used to be, it's still wider than it is in other large American industries. So that's led to calls for more diversity in hiring, especially at a time when there's a lot of demand for new workers who specialize in artificial intelligence. Industry groups say gender equality is good for not just women, but also for innovation and creativity that's especially essential in the world of AI. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.